Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, we're going to get into the Word first and then we're going to pray. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to give you a little bit of Bible study as we start. I'm going to talk about how to make the most of your anointing. Because this morning the Lord told me to speak to you about how to make the most of your anointing. Now, I'm going to give you a little lesson in Greek. I've got into Greek a bit more lately, haven't I? The reason for doing that is the word gifts that we're so familiar with in this chapter now about spiritual gifts does not appear in the Greek. And therefore, if we really want to understand what Paul is saying, we just need a little bit of Greek study here. In verse 1, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. What the Greek actually says is about spirituals, meaning about spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant about that which is spiritual. The word gift is not there. Now, he goes on to say that you can only say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts. Now, there's that word again in the English. It's a totally different word in the Greek from the word in verse 1. And it doesn't mean gifts either. It means the things of God's grace. Charismata. Charis is the Greek word for grace. So the charismata are the things that God graces us to do. Now, it's easy, therefore, to translate that as gifts, as it's easy to translate verse 1 as gifts. But strictly speaking, that's not what is meant. And I want to get at the heart of what Paul is meaning this morning. He's talking about spiritual things, and he's talking about that which God graces us to do by His Spirit. So any way in which the Spirit works through your life is a work of God's grace. And certainly the charismata, the different ways in which God graces us, is not confined to the list of things that Paul mentions in this passage. Now, why is this important? Well, he goes on to say there are different kinds of working, and yet another Greek word is used there. The works, the things that the Spirit does. But it's all of the same Spirit, as only that same Holy Spirit. Now, last week we were talking about the seven spirits that are before the throne of God. And these seven spirits make up the Holy Spirit. Just as the Trinity is the three in one, the Holy Spirit is really the seven in one. We don't usually use that kind of language. It's much easier just to talk about the Holy Spirit. But it's important for us to understand that there are these distinctive ways in which the Holy Spirit works. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is the person of God. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the person of God, the Holy Spirit to live within us. And that has to mean that at least potentially, all that the Spirit is and has is available to us. Now, together with the way in which the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, there is the call of God. Now, the call of God is twofold. There's the general call of God, which is upon every one of our lives, which is to love the Lord our God, to love our neighbor, to love one another as he has loved us, to bear much fruit as his disciples, to be disciples, to follow Christ, and so on. All these things are part of the call that is upon the life of every Christian. But then God has particular calls upon different people's lives. So a little later on in this passage, Paul is talking about the various ministries. Now, to Paul, you see, these ministries are gifts. They're gifts from God to the body of Christ. So if you look in verse 28, and in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, charismatic gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking different kinds of tongues. Word for administration is quite interesting there, because it's the only place in the whole of the New Testament that that word in Greek appears. And what it actually means is to guide the ship, like a pilot who guides and steers the ship. So that gift of administration is a gift of guidance for the body of Christ. It's not just doing a whole lot of paperwork, but it's having that gift to direct the and to order the life of the church. Now, Paul sees all these things as particular distinctive callings, and God therefore graces the people that he calls to those particular ministries in particular ways according to the nature of that call. Now, where are we going with all this? Well, we all have the same Spirit. We all have the same call, but we don't all have the same ministries. And therefore, to go with the ministry, which is the work of service, literally, ministry is a service, the work of service that God calls you to, he will give you particular grace for. See, that this is what Paul is saying, that whatever God calls you to do, he graces you to do. So there are a whole variety of ministries, a whole variety of workings, but it's the Holy Spirit that graces us with the life and power to fulfill those callings and those ministries. Now, this means that God will not call us to do anything without giving us grace to do it. So one of the distinctive things that each one of us has to do in our lives is to know our specific ministry, our specific call. I'm not talking about the general call this morning. I'm talking about that which God specifically calls us to do. One of the ways in which you can tell whether you are fulfilling the purpose of God or not is whether his grace is upon you in what you're doing. If there's no grace, you're outside the will of God. Hello. But if God is gracing you to do what needs to be done, if you know that there is a supernatural element, God is enabling you to do what in the natural you would not be able to do, that's the working of his grace. That's the charismata, the gifts, if you like, or the workings of his grace, which demonstrate that you're in the will of God, that you're actually fulfilling what he wants you to do. Now, there's two things we need to understand about this, which seem, on the face of it, a bit contradictory, but they're not really. The first is that if we are flowing in the anointing, therefore in the particular gifting of God for what he's wanting us to do, there will be a kind of a comfort about that. There will be a peace about that, because we know that we're in the will of God. We know that he is undertaking. We know that he is enabling us to do what in the natural we would not be able to do. And we know that therefore it's proving effective and fruitful. The other thing seems contradictory to that, because the anointing that is upon our lives only is fully effective in relationship to God. Jesus was the Christ, which means the anointed one. But he made it very clear that he could only function in that anointing out of unity with his Father. That unity was absolutely essential. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the anointing flowed out of his unity with the Father. And therefore, the anointing on our lives is going to be most effective as we walk in unity with Jesus, with the Father. If we're in unity with Jesus, we're in unity with the Father. So that means that God may put before us things that are outside our comfort zone. So on the one hand, you have this sense of, well, I'm flowing in my anointing, I'm comfortable in this because I know I'm doing what God is equipping me to do. And yet, on the other hand, there's the challenge of doing things that you've never done before. Because God is wanting you to trust in the anointing, to trust in the Holy Spirit, to trust that he will grace you for that which you've never done before. So there is this, we live with this strange tension. And if we just want to live within our comfort zone, we're going to miss God. We all know that. But these two things come together when we step out in what Paul calls the obedience of faith, because then we discover that the grace is there to enable us to do even what before we'd been afraid to do or reluctant to begin. Now, what is God's specific call on your life? That's not what is his long-term call, because God's calling is always a daily thing. You see, in 5 years' time, God might be using some of you in a totally different way to what he's using you now, but that is not his call on your life. In 5 years' time it will be, but it's not now. His call on your life today is to obey him today, to be his disciple today, to depend upon his Spirit today, to flow in your anointing today, to do what he asks of you today. Which is why Jesus says, take no thought for tomorrow. Never mind about tomorrow. God hasn't called you to live tomorrow until tomorrow. But he's called you to live today, today. So therefore, his call upon your life is to do what he puts in front of you today. Now, that's got nothing to do with the ministry, right? The ministry is that particular place or function that God has given you within the body of Christ. Whether it's apostle, pastor, teacher, or any of that list that we read out. Or any of the other lists that exist in Ephesians and so on. But God's call upon our lives today is to walk with him today, to be one with him today, to obey him today, to depend upon his Spirit today, to depend upon his grace, therefore, today, to be gifted by God, if we want to use that word, to be gifted by God to do what we have to do today. So that means that God wants us to employ, to use, the anointing that we have every day. Now, the problem with anointing is you can take it for granted. If what you're doing every day is what you normally do every day, you may not even think of your need to be anointed to do it. But if God has anointed us, then there is no limit to the resources that he makes available to us to enable us to do what he's asking of us. In other words, the more you employ and use that anointing, the more effective you will be, even in doing the mundane daily things. Are we all at the same meeting here? The point is this, that you will bear no fruit that will last unless it's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. You see, the call is not just to bear fruit, but Jesus says it's to bear fruit that will last. And it's only the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that will produce fruit that will last. So here we are, a bunch of anointed people. He anoints us to be believers and to do everything that believers have to do every day. Like, for example, pray. What does the scripture say? Pray at all times in the Spirit. It's possible for you to pray without depending on the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is not just speaking in tongues. But praying in the Spirit is letting the Spirit lead, inspire, and fill your prayer with the presence and the power of God. So we are to pray at all times in the Spirit, the scripture says. In other words, use your anointing whenever you pray. Make the most of your anointing when you pray. Don't just pray because you know how to pray. Use the anointing of the Spirit. Then Jesus says the Father looks for those who worship in spirit and in truth. We can worship without dependence on the anointing. We could have started that this morning. We could all have stood and sung a couple of songs and felt good about it. Or been thinking about something else while we were singing them, as the case may be. But you see, what Jesus is saying is really use your anointing. Use the anointing of the Spirit when you worship, when you pray, when you speak. Because he says the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. I'm not just talking about ordinary conversation, although of course he can inspire that. But whenever we have to speak in the name of the Lord, on the Lord's behalf to anyone, even in conversation, God will give us the words to speak And the more we depend upon him, depend upon the anointing, the more the Spirit can use us when we speak. Or when we act. You know, people frequently over the years have come to me and said, what should I do about this and that and the other? And they often say, I think I know what you're going to say. Namely, well, just trust God. Because, you see, we all have the anointing. So the Spirit is going to show us what to do. The Spirit is going to tell us what to say. The Spirit is actually going to direct our course. He's going to cause us to walk in his ways. So usually it's not counsel we need from man, it's the counsel of the Holy Spirit, which is why there isn't a ministry of counseling in the New Testament. See, if people are taught the truth will set them free. It's the truth that sets them free. It's not actually steps to freedom that sets people free. It's the truth contained in the steps to freedom. It's the truth. It's the essence of the truth. So what package you deliver it in is not that important. It's the truth that will actually set people free. The trouble with systems is people then begin to think it's the system that set them free. And we have to make it very clear, no, it's not the system. It's not because you've prayed for a few hours with somebody else. That's not what did it. It's but now you've got a greater grasp of the truth. And you've applied that truth to areas of your life where you may never have applied it before. Therefore, you realize that you have a freedom. You had the freedom before we ever started going through the system. But you just didn't know it. So what the truth does is to reveal the freedom that you have in Christ. Are we there? Okay, now let's just try to be very, very practical for our benefit and all those who are going to download this. How can we get the best out of the anointing that we have? But of course, the most essential thing is to know that we are proceeding in the will of God. Why? Because there's no grace for doing what he doesn't call us to do. Hello? God will not grace us to do what he has not called us to do. Why? Because this grace, you see, is the outworking of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit lives within us to equip us, to enable us to do what God doesn't want us to do, what God wants us to do. Now, you've heard my one-sentence testimony. God continually to asking me to do things I cannot do and then enabling me to do them. So that's the story of my life. I mean, if you'd said to me a few months ago, you're going to do a new translation of the New Testament, I'd have said, no way, that is outside my call, my ability, my anything. Now you see, I'm flowing in an anointing God is gracing me to do. Why? Because it's something he's called me to do. Nothing I would have chosen to do. Nothing at all. Can't imagine anything that I would have less likely to do if you'd said to me this time last year. I said, no way. I would never even dream of doing that. But you see, when God calls you to do something, he graces you to do it. So if God calls you to do something and your immediate reaction is, I can't, God says, precisely. Precisely, you can't, but the anointing will enable you. So you have to depend upon the anointing, which is only another way of saying, I've got to depend upon the Holy Spirit so that the anointing will come forth in what I'm doing. The anointing will be expressed in what I'm doing. Now, we all know those things that we've held back from doing in the past in fear. And when you face fear directly and you step out and do the thing anyway, instead of listening to your fears, you listen to your faith, you discover the anointing, the grace is there because it was something that God put before you to do. So you might never have prayed for someone to be healed in the supermarket, but once you step out in faith and do it, you discover, wait a minute, the grace was there, the Holy Spirit was there, there was an anointing on me as I prayed with that person in the supermarket and they got healed. Why? Because if God, the Holy Spirit, was impressing upon you, pray with that person, it can only be because he wants to heal that person, not because he wants to make you feel embarrassed or look foolish because nothing happens. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit will never ask you to do anything that won't work. He knows that everything he asks you to do will work so long as you depend upon the anointing. You depend upon the Spirit. You depend upon him. What is fear? Fear is an emotion of the flesh. What is trust? It's the work of the Spirit, of your spirit. Not of your flesh. There's no faith in the flesh. So don't put any faith in the flesh. Why? Because in your flesh there dwells nothing good. Well, faith is good. So there's no faith in your flesh. There's no love in your flesh except love of self. Therefore, God is teaching us all the time to function in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. That if we walk in the Spirit, Paul says, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's not a question of fighting against the flesh. It's having your focus, your mind, and your heart set on things above, which means not that you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good, but it means that your focus is on spiritual things. Spirituals. As Paul says in this chapter. And that because you are focused on spirituals, then you are dependent upon graces. This is literally what he's saying. And therefore, there are a whole variety of workings, whole variety of different ways in which God will use different believers, but they're all the outworking of the grace of God. God gracing us to do that which he's calling us to do. Now, nothing is worse than a Christian trying to do what he's not graced to do. That's another way of saying he's not anointed to do it. I mean, it's painful for someone to be trying to be the pastor of a church if he's not got an anointing to be a pastor. I know some guys that have been good pastoral people, but they're lousy preachers. But just because there's just no grace on their preaching, just because they're the pastor of the church, they think they've got to preach all the time. And they're afraid that if somebody else preaches, then that will sort of undermine their authority. But if you are flowing in your anointing, you see, where does your authority come from? Your authority comes from the anointing. Because it's God's authority, but God's authority is expressed through you, through the anointing. Right, now, very important. This is really what I think God is wanting us to look at all this stuff for. Because I'm not saying anything that's rocket science spiritually that you don't know. But how do we develop the anointing? You see, anointing is spiritual enabling. Right? Whether we're talking about spirituals or gifts of graces, it is spiritual enabling. It is divine enabling. It is supernatural enabling. Now, every one of you have got natural gifts. But whether you liked it or not, you had to go to school. So what's the significance of that? Well, at school, certain aspects of your natural abilities got developed. Somebody taught you to read. Somebody taught you to do arithmetic and mathematics and all kinds of other things which you probably thought were boring at the time. But what was happening was a developing of your natural gifts. None of you just picked up a book and read it. None of you suddenly did mental arithmetic, trigonometry and logarithms and all of that, which you have conveniently forgotten ever existed. It was stuff you had to learn, and even though often when you're learning you cannot see the natural, you cannot see how that knowledge is going to be applied in your life, yet you were developing your ability to learn. You're developing natural giftings. Now, there's the equivalent in the life of the Spirit. When we first become believers, the Spirit of God first comes upon us. I mean, the devil can't stop us. You're the greatest evangelist that's ever walked on the earth. You're a tremendous witness. You can believe God for anything. In the sort of first flush of suddenly realizing the reality of Jesus Christ and he's alive within you. And that was Saul of Tarsus's experience when he first came to the Lord. But then God took him away into obscurity for 3 years. Why? To develop his giftings. Why do we have a training college here? To develop people's giftings. Because to have a gift, or the charismata, is the work of God's gracious generosity. But we have to learn how to use his giftings. We have to learn how to live the spirituals. We have to learn how to use, how to employ our anointing. Which is why none of us are here for a job. See, if you were here for a job, then you wouldn't need anointing, you wouldn't need any charism for that, any particular gift from God. You could just get on and do the job. But God's purpose is for you to be doing much more than a job, but to be fulfilling a call. And God's call can only be fulfilled by dependence on the Spirit. If we don't depend upon the Spirit, we haven't fulfilled the call. We haven't, in other words, manifested the full realization of what God can do with us. So you see, You are here because God wants to express fully in your life now what he wants to do with you while you're here. Now, that will involve doing what you're called to do in the workplace, but it's also to do what he's calling you to do outside of the workplace. But it's all part of his call to do in you here what he wants to do in you here. Now, if he leads you on somewhere else, it's because he has developed your anointing to the point where now he wants to use you in another way. But it's never opting out of the anointing. It's never going sort of back into the world, if you can put it that way. Because even if God was to call some of you to do a secular job, as he has some folks in recent months, it's so that you can take the anointing into that place and see the anointing on your life further developed, but in a different context. But you see, to do that in the secular world, people have to be strong enough to stand with all the pressures that are opposing you often, all around you. So God develops the anointing to the point where now he says, right, I can now transplant you. And you're going to grow strong where I transplant you. In other words, he doesn't want anybody to prosper here and then to put them somewhere where they won't prosper. But he wants to take their prosperity here, plant it somewhere else so that they prosper there. And that prosperity will affect a whole group of new people. So we shouldn't be surprised that God is regularly sending people out, not just from the team, but from the church. We see it all the time. And of course, a lot of the young people that have been brought up in the church here have actually been taught to develop their anointing through J24/7, through the youth work and so on. They are growing up in an atmosphere where people around them are using their anointing. That helps you as a young person to develop your anointing, to realize that you have an anointing that you can use. So the anointing is even on the children in our families. And of course, many of them come to a real relationship with Jesus at a very early age. But what we're teaching them to do is, you know, we might put it, well, just trust Jesus and he's there. But what we're actually saying is, look, God will anoint you to do. God will enable you. God will equip you. God won't let you fail. He won't leave you with egg on your face. If you trust him, you will find that the anointing is there. Why? Because if he's calling you to do anything, he always anoints you to do it. Somebody thought hallelujah but forgot to say it. So he will never fail us, he will never forsake us, he will never leave us. Now, let me just draw this to a close by saying this, you see. Let's look at the situation from God's point of view. Because we're so used to looking at everything from our own point of view. What's God? Let's look at the call of God on our lives from his point of view. During these last, I suppose over the course of the weekend, I've been thinking quite a bit about this. Let me put it another way. God has been speaking to me about this. And this was all in connection with this translation thing I'm doing. Because One of the unanswered questions I had is, Lord, how do you actually want me to present this? In other words, what do you want the finished version to be like? And I had this sort of suspicion that this quite precise translation that I've been doing for the last 9 months was not going to be what God wanted the finished article to be. But it wasn't until I finished that on Friday that God then began to speak to me and say, right, now this is what you're to do next. So actually the finished version is going to be very different from what I've written. I've more or less got to start to rewrite the whole thing now. Karen will be delighted to hear that. Here we go again. But that's okay, because the hard work has been done. Now I can just flow with the anointing. God, if you like, will write the finished version. So God has been speaking to me about all this stuff about depending upon him and the anointing and so on. And he said something to me, I think it was Easter morning. He said, nothing in your life has ever been predictable. He just took me through a series of things. He said, you never ever thought you would be at the heart of revival. You never ever expected to have an international ministry. You never expected to write all those books. Never in your wildest imaginings would you have lived in community. Never did you plan to start a ministry like Kingdom Faith. Never would you have thought that you would have founded a Bible college. And so on. He just went right the way through my ministry and said, none of that was ever predictable. You never ever thought you would do any of those things. And even when you were doing some of them, you never expected to do the next thing. And yet, you see, when God opened up each of those things, he anointed me to do them. And Caroline and the others that were involved in whatever we were doing at that time. So, we don't know. You don't know what lies ahead of you. You don't know what God is going to do with you. You probably, in your wildest imaginings, would never imagine what God will actually end up by doing with you. But when he makes something clear, he will anoint you to do it. And it will be fruitful. And it will be effective. Because it's God. One of the things that he wants us to understand this morning is what you're doing now is not it. You can never say, well, I've arrived. This is it. This is now I'm doing what God has called me to do. Because you may be doing what he's calling you to do today, but it may change tomorrow. Because he could call you to do something different tomorrow, and then you would need a different anointing to in order to do the new thing that God is wanting you to do. He would develop your anointing. He would add to the anointing what you need to do that new dimension to your call, to your ministry. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? So this is the exciting thing, really, about being a Christian. To me, it's exciting. Because you can never say, well, I'm arrived, I'm comfortable. Yes, now I'm Now I can see how God can use me. Because God can upset the apple cart completely, tomorrow or today if he chooses. Hallelujah. And of course, this is what keeps us dependent upon him. This is what keeps us from sinking back into a comfort zone. Everything is nice and easy and comfortable. No challenge. Because God loves to challenge us by putting new things before us. Hallelujah. So I think it's exciting being a Christian. It's exciting living with God. I mean, how can it ever be boring living with Jesus? And you only have to see things like that passion that they put on television over this last week to see a completely warped idea of Jesus that the world has. And if you have unspiritual people producing a program about spiritual things they don't understand, you're going to get the sort of twisted concept of Jesus. And you see, what they always take out is the supernatural, because the natural can't understand the supernatural. So there's no supernatural element in it whatsoever. It's all in the natural. And of course, you can't understand Jesus in that way. But then you see, you're not natural. You're supernatural. And you can only really understand what God wants to do with your life when you take that supernatural element into account. Of course, you're natural just like Christ had a natural body, but it was what God did supernaturally in that natural body. And that's the point. You see, this is what God is saying to us. You don't know what's lying ahead, but whatever it is, it's going to work so long as you depend upon his supernatural power to enable you to do it. That God may completely surprise you time and time again, like he has with me. But you see, that's why that one sentence tests me. God continually asking me to do things I cannot do in the natural, but then enabling me to do them. So God can give you a love for people that in the natural you would never love. God can give you a power that in the natural you would never have. God can give you wisdom that in the natural you would never have. But just as we have to develop the natural, so we have to develop the supernatural. How do you develop the natural? You use your natural gifts. How do you develop the supernatural? You use the supernatural anointing. The more you depend upon it and learn from others how to do that, the more effective you will be. So, you will hear people that are experienced in these things saying, well, of course, you need to be a person of prayer if you're really going to develop your anointing. And you can hear that, but still not pray. And then wonder why your anointing isn't developing. See, you can't change the purpose of God on your life, but you can delay it. Because you see, every step of the way with Jesus is a step of obedience. But he will never force obedience. He waits for you to obey. So an unwillingness to obey will delay the purpose of God. But it won't change it. Because just because you are delaying obedience, he is not going to change his mind. He's not going to change the call. He's not going to change the way in which he wants to use you. He doesn't put something before you and say, oh, well, if you're not prepared to, I'll have to find something else for you to do, won't I? No, your life will just fall apart if you persist in disobedience. And I've seen it happen to people. Their whole lives have fallen apart because they have stubbornly refused to take a step of obedience to the Lord. Why? Because you can't place yourself above God. What is disobedience? It's placing yourself above God. It's knowing what he's saying, but it's choosing something else instead. That's making yourself more important than God. You're making yourself more God than God. You say, well, that's only God who told me to do that. But I'm more important than God, because I don't want to do it. Hello? So you can delay the purpose of God, but he's not going to change the purpose. You say, well, when you're ready to take that step of obedience, then we can move on. You can move on. Are we getting this? Which is why it's so important for us to be in that place of personal relationship with the Lord. Why? Because then we're not afraid to obey. We're not afraid of the steps of faith. We're not afraid of the challenges that God puts before us. We say, well, that's okay, because I'm in him and he's in me and he's with me and it's his will. And he never opens up his will for me so that I will fail to fulfill it. But he always equips me. He always gives me the anointing. And if he's putting something before me which I don't feel I've got an anointing for, as soon as I step out in obedience, the anointing will be there. You don't wait until you feel you've got the anointing before you take the step. It's as you take the step, so the anointing is released to do it. So I would never have believed that God could grace me to live with some of the characters I've lived with in community. I mean, no way, Jose. But then you see, when you find yourself doing it, the grace of God is there. Huh? No way would I have ever wanted an international ministry talking to thousands of people and all this kind of stuff. Never even dreamed, never longed, never desired anything like that whatsoever. But then you find yourself in the position and God is gracing you to do it. I can remember so many times in my life I've been in situations like that, and I've been sort of standing on a platform with all these thousands of people and, you know, all these big international speakers in the front row, and thinking to myself, what on earth am I doing here? How on earth did I get here? You see, and the answer to that is always, it's God. And if God has put me in that situation, it's because somehow he wants to use me in that situation. But you see, the same is true for all of us. I mean, I can only talk from my personal experience. But the same is true for you. Whatever God puts you, it's because he wants to use you. And because he will anoint to use you. He will anoint you to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has for you in that place where he's put you. So praise God. We can learn a lot about anointing, but it's only as we step out in the obedience of faith that that anointing gets released into our lives. Praise God. And he will do it. He will do it. It's taken me 9 months to do this translation using from the Greek text. And, you know, there have been a few times when it's been pretty tough going. But I know God said, well, set the objective that by Easter you finished it. On Thursday it was, wasn't it? Thursday I finished it. So that objective. The Lord says, now, by the end of September, the thing is to be finished. And I think, wait a minute, it's taken 9 months to do that. Now I've got to do all the editing and all the preparation for publication and everything and everything. And how many months is that? April, May, June, July, August. 5, 6 months. But you know what? He will enable it. And that's the great thing. Whatever God says to you, He will enable. And that's the great thing about anointing. So let's stand, shall we? Praise God. Lift your hands and thank Him for the anointing that's on your life. You may already be doing things you could never have imagined. Well, that's the call of God. It's the grace of God. It's the anointing of God. Hallelujah. He has made you what He has made you through His anointing. Now thank Him that He's still developing the anointing on your life. He's getting you ready for what's next. Whether that next is when you're here or taking you somewhere else, He is always preparing you for what is next. He is never content with what is happening now. He's always getting you ready for the next stage of your anointing. Hallelujah. Putaparazataria lerabakarasita. So, Lord, prepare me for what is next. I want to be faithful today because it's only by being faithful today that you can then take me into what is next. That I have to be faithful today in order to be ready for what is next. That you won't allow me to go into the next thing until I'm faithful in the present thing. So I praise you, Lord. I bless you, Jesus. I give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Sara taparazataria lerabakarasituri satuba. Bara taparazataria lerabakarasituri sanduba. Bara taparazataria lerabakarasituri. Bara taparazataria lerabakarasituri sanduba. Oh, thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you that you will always anoint me for whatever you call me to do. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Now thank the Lord for the challenges that He puts before you. Come on, embrace those challenges. Don't push them away. Oh, thank you, Lord, for fresh challenges that will release more of the anointing, that will cause the anointing of my life to develop. Hallelujah. Sato parazataria lera bakarasito. Yes, 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 yes. Soturi sata parazatari eleba karasita. But Lord, I'm depending upon the anointing. I'm depending upon your Spirit. Hallelujah. I'm seeing more and more of your Spirit being released, being expressed in what I do. And I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise. Soturi sata parazatari eletoba karasitoba. Barata parazatari eleba karasitori sanduma. Barata parazatari eleba karasitori sanduma. Boroto parazatari eleba karasitori sanduma. Om parazatari eletu bakarasitori satari eleba. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It's so exciting, Lord, that the anointing never fails us. Praise God. You never fail us, Lord. Purata parazatari eleba. Oh, thank you that every time we step out in the obedience of faith, you release the grace to enable us, because the anointing is there, and we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, we give you all the praise. Soturi sata parazatari. Thank you, Lord. We don't need specific gifts, because we have the gift of your Spirit, and it's the spiritual things that you want to see in our lives. It's those graces that as you grace us to do things, it's the manifestations of the Spirit that you want to express in our lives. And Lord, we just thank you that we don't have to feel gifted, we just have to know we're gifted. Yes. Just have to know that we're gifted by your Spirit, that you have anointed us for everything that you call us to do, and you will cause that anointing to grow and develop, to change and become whatever it needs to be to enable us to obey every step along the way. And we give you glory, Lord. Tarazato bakarazito. Barataparazatari elera bakarazitori sato. Oh, come on, Jesus. Sato barazatari eletu bakarazita. Come on, let's worship him now. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ora la massa la mare elena massanto. Ora la mare elena massaia namando massino ma. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ora la mare elena massanto. Era la mare elena massa la mare elena massanto. Ora la mare elena ma santo ma. Ora la mare elena ma saia namantu. Ora la mare elena ma salari elena ma sino ma. Cori elena ma salamari elena ma santo. Ora la mare elena ma salamari elena ma santo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the Lord says, don't covet anyone else's anointing. Be thankful for your anointing. If you see something in someone else's life, the way the anointing is working in them, and you realize that that is what also needs to be expressed in your life, don't covet that in someone else. Look to me to work that in you. as I worked it in that other person. Look to me, the Lord's saying. Depend upon me, your Lord. Do not despise the day of little things, because you have to prove faithful in little things. That's because you have to learn to use the anointing in little things and not just do those little things in your own strength. Then I can put greater challenges before you. But when I put those greater challenges before you, I want you to face up to them, not run from them. I want you to realize that's the next thing I'm asking of you. And as you step out in the obedience of faith, so the grace will be there to anoint you for that task. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Tata parasutaba. Barata barasatari eleto bakarasitari santoma. Barata barasatari eleto bakarasitari santoma. Barata barasatari eleto bakarasitari santo bakarasitari santoma. Barata barasatari eleto bakarasitari santo bakarasinoma. Thank you, Jesus. Puratabarazatari eleto bakara sitri santo bakara sotapa. Puratabarazatari eleto bakara sitri santama. Yes. The Lord's been teaching me something through this translation, what he's been saying, which I think it's something we can all learn from. He used the illustration of a concert pianist. He has to play the composition that someone else wrote. But if he just plays the notes accurately, it won't be a good performance. Maybe absolutely accurate, but it won't be a good performance unless he puts expression and meaning into the play. He can't change the notes. He's still got to play the composition. But it will be a good performance if there's expression and meaning in it. And the Lord said to me, yeah, you can translate the words from one language to another. It can be accurate, but now I want you to put expression and meaning into it. Because then it will speak to people much more directly and clearly. But you see, this is a principle for our lives. We can just try to do accurately what God asks us to do. We can be obedient. But God doesn't want just obedience. He doesn't want us just to play the notes. He doesn't want us just to do the word. But with expression and meaning. With love and passion. Because we put our whole selves into what we're doing. We're not just getting the job done. But we're expressing His life in the way we do the job. We're giving of ourselves wholeheartedly in the performance, if you like, of our lives. And we just give you glory, Lord. We thank you that you're not just asking us to slavishly obey a set of precepts in the book, but you want to express your life through us. You want to express the meaning of life, because we are living according to the meaning of what we proclaim, not just slavishly trying to reproduce it. And we just give you glory, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is your life within us. Hallelujah. That it doesn't just enable us to obey, but to express your life. Hallelujah. To express your love, to express that faith, to express that joy, to express the power of God in our lives. And we give you all the glory, Lord. Oh, we give you all the praise. Sotori sata parazataria letuba. Barata parazataria letuba karasitaba. Barata parazataria letuba karasitri sanduba. Oh, paparazataria letuba karasitri sanduba. Om parazataria letuba karasitri satuba. Oh, papara satari eleba kara sitri satari eleba. Oh, rasa tapara zatu bakara sitri satu. Oh, papara satari eleba kara sita. In other words, he's saying, be devoted to me. Be devoted to doing my will. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you're speaking to us by your Spirit in these days. Thank you for the variety of workings, but the same Spirit. Thank you, Lord, we don't have to try to be like anybody else. We just have to be true to what you're asking of us. And we give you all the glory, Lord, that all the different anointings in this room all flow together. They're all complementary. That in the body of Christ here, Lord, you supply a whole variety of anointings, a whole variety of giftings. And we just bless you for all the manifestations of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you use others. Come on, thank him. Thank him for the way he uses others to do what you cannot do. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Just tell the Lord how much you value the way he uses others. Pura tapara zatari eleba. Not to be jealous, not be envious, but thankful. Thanking the Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. That when you see something good in someone else, thank the Lord. Don't just say, oh God, it makes me feel, you know, less or more insecure or whatever. No, just thank him. Thank you, Lord, for the way you bless that person, for the way you use that person, for the way that your life is expressed, your love comes through that person. Thank you, Lord, for the way your truth is expressed. Thank you, Lord, for the way you feed my spirit by what that person teaches or what that person does. I just thank you, Lord, that all the time you're using all those around me to develop the anointing that you have given me. And I give you glory, Lord. I give you honor. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Sata barazatori eletu bakarazitaba. Oh, Lord, and I just want to be faithful. And I believe, Lord, you're going to use me and you're going to use the anointing on my life to bless all those around me. Come on, just believe that. Believe that. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be a blessing because of the anointing that's on your life. Puta para zatari eletu bakarasito. Barata para zatari eleta bakarasitri satu. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Surata para zatari eleta bakarasitri satu. Barata para zatari eleta bakarasitri satu bakarasito. Now finally, just thank the Lord that his calling is to be faithful, obedient to him today. Amen. That's his calling, today. Take no thought for tomorrow. It's all about today. Hallelujah. And you're going to express his life today. Oh, you're going to step out in the obedience of faith today. He has anointed you for everything that you have to do today. You will have the wisdom of God today. You will have all the gifts, all the graces, everything you need for today. Thank him for that, that you lack no good thing. Hallelujah. That God has given you everything you need for life and godliness today. Praise your wonderful name. It's what you need for today is not on the way. It's already there within you. Thank you, Jesus. Puto parazatari elerabakarasita. Barata parazatari eletubakarasita. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Puta parazatari eletubakarasita disatu. Oh, just turn to all those around you and say, I really appreciate you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.